everyone, welcome to Rewatchable episode 92. We're doing Avatar The Last Airbender episodes 12, The Western Air Temple, and 13, The Firebending Masters, this week. And I'm not going to lie to you and say that, like, I specially orchestrated our entire history of Rewatchable for me to get to be on these two episodes, like, craftily sneaking around which weeks I was on. That's not completely true, but I'm so stoked that it's ended up that I have been on these episodes because, oh my God, it's a big moment. The contact info, if you want to reach us, if this was a big moment for you as well, is rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. The Twitter is @re_watchable. And you can also comment on this post on Hyperball if you have any feedback about this particular episode. But yeah, we'll get right into it because this is the big time now and I'm very, very excited. So yeah. In chapter 12, The Western Air Temple, we'll read the synopsis for this one. In this chapter, Zuko wants to sit with the gang at lunch, but he can't because it's a Wednesday and he's not wearing pink. Now that the gang has had their asses handed to them royally by the Queen of the Universe, Azula, the new plan is the old plan, master all four elements before fighting the Fire Lord. But everything changes when Zuko attacks, but he's nice, but is he? Appa sure likes the taste of that juicy man meat, but the gang can't see past him sending Sparky Sparky Boom Mate to assassin... Appa sure likes the taste of that juicy man meat, but the gang can't see past him sending Sparky Sparky Boom Man to assassinate them. Toph, aka the only character with sense left in her, says that when you're handed a friendly firebender on a silver platter, it's stupid to pass up the opportunity for training. Alas, she's forced to eat her words when her feet are burnt by a surprise Zuko. Toph crawls back to the gang to be healed, but everything changes when the forehead tattoo man attacks. Zuko tries to call him off, but this guy's out for blood, money or not. Sokka's trusty boomerang deals a fatal blow to the robot man thing, and Aang asks all in the group to allow Zuko in. Of course, the only one with qualms is the second half of #Zutara. But we all know she was just playing hard to get, winky face, #the cave. Oh, dear.
Duh.
Oh, dear.
My feelings well. Too much.
Mitchell is bringing his game, I have to say.
What, with the synopsis?
Yeah. Did we introduce ourselves?
We did
not. No, sorry. Let's talk about who's here this week before we get into the synopsis. Before we get into the questions, sorry. I'm Natalie. I'm hosting this week. We have our fellow superfan, Michal.
Hello.
Here. Hello. And our newbies this week are Ariana and Brittany. And I feel like this is a group that always ends up together. That's quite a common combination, perhaps because of availability or something. But it's a nice functional little team here that we have. And I'm very excited to get to this episode, even if we did have to get through the gang wars of trying to pick a quote this week with some violent competition and gunfire. So we'll get to that at the end. But yeah,
I don't know if you saw, but I kind of won.
Yeah, I saw.
No, you did not, Brittany. No, you did not.
I didn't want the whole quote, McCall, and you should check out episode 2.
I did see episode 2. I did.
Oh, my.
But it's going to be ruined because I'm going first, so.
Nope. I didn't want the whole thing. And he said it like 5 times, first of all. So technically we all could have won.
Oh, my God, Brittany, I've just seen how you allegedly won. So, anyway, we'll get to that. Let's get to that later.
We're all friends on Rewatchable.
Of course.
No, there was definitely some Hunger Games shit going down in there. Sorry. Going into this episode... at the Western Air Temple, we see that this was, like, a crucial moment for baby Zuko, which my friend who I was watching with sounds like you can, like, he sounds younger and it sounds like the actor is, like, holding his nose to do, like, baby little Zuko voice, because it's this, like, nasal high-pitched small Zuko right after he was burnt in the eye, so he has his band-aid and stuff. Not a band-aid, he needs a bit more than a band-aid, I suppose. His large eye dressing, and it's like where he had this like teaching moment with Iroh that he, you know, ignored, obviously. But yeah, I guess first of all, what did you think of seeing like Zuko having those flashbacks to right after he was banished in that same place, and how he didn't listen to good old Uncle Iroh, and it took him like 4 years to get the picture. Ariana, I'll go to you first as a newbie about that scene.
I totally forgot about this scene, so I'm having remember. It probably made me angry that he didn't listen to Iroh, because everyone should listen to Iroh.
No, fair enough. That's a true fact. Mikhail, how about you? Did you remember this scene when you rewatched? Like, is this something that stuck out for you from time to time with watching?
I don't know that I remembered it per se, but I, you know, once I watched it, I was like, oh, right, that was how they did it. And it was good, because I think it kind of gives, you know, it gives Zuko a reason to go like, oh my god, I was such an idiot, but like without a scene that we've seen before, like, and kind of in a more natural way than him just being like, oh, in general, I was such an idiot, you know, which he kind of does later, but yeah.
I really loved when he stopped remembering that flashback and he kind of is in the present day and he's just like, oh, like, pinches bridge of nose. My God, what a little bitch I was.
Because, also we all do that, you know, right? Like, I feel like everyone, I know you don't, Ariana, but, like,
I definitely do. When I was in high school, I used to, like, my friends and I used to send notes like, our teacher's fly is down, so he would, like, catch it and read it out loud. Oh. Terrible. Do you know teachers read notes out loud when they catch it? So then he'd have to be like, Mr. Byron's fly is down. Oh.
That's genius. Me. Oh, but my goodness.
We thought it was funny.
It was funny.
We were terrible. This is what I mean. Teenagers are terrible. I'm sorry.
Do we want to go around the group and say a moment that's made us cringe from our past? Is that
no?
I really don't.
Absolutely not.
Brittany, how did you feel about, like, flashback baby Zuko?
Well, I think he was, first of all, cringing at that hairstyle, because I forgot that his hair used to be like that, and when I saw it, I was like, oh, I cringed.
Mm. Yeah. Present-day Zuko's hair in this episode is, like, my favorite hair of Zuko at all, like, forever. Like, this is my number one ideal 100% wood Zuko.
Very Beatles.
What did you call it, Brittany? I think Brittany called it like Goblet of Fire hair.
Oh no, this looks like a little like shorter than what it was. But the Goblet of Fire hair was just—it was bad for everyone. And, like, Aang still had his hair, and like Sokka was in a weird phase, and it was not pretty for anyone involved.
Sokka had to do the Firebender style hair with like the back out, which he doesn't usually have.
Yeah.
And now everyone's shaved their head again, so it's fine. But like Zuko, yes, I'm digging it. But yeah, I mean, obviously they didn't keep any healing waterbenders at hand in the Fire Nation, like when they basically grabbed all the waterbenders and killed them from the South Pole or whatever. You'd think that they would have kept some on as, like, healing slaves for all those fire burns, right? No,
yeah, that would
not
make
a good idea.
A lot of sense. No, it would totally make a lot of sense.
But how could you trust them, though? Like, I feel like that's, you know...
Well, couldn't they, like, just send them to the Earth Kingdom and have them brainwashed and then get them back?
I think the Earth Kingdom was keeping that on the down low, actually.
I think you could totally trust them. I mean, people have had slaves for hundreds of thousands of years.
Who can control an element that you're about to give them, you know? I mean, like, maybe some of the women, if they, like some of the Northern Water Tribe women, if they really couldn't fight with it. But, like, I mean, we saw about Hama, right? How she was, you know, how they kept her. And, yeah, I feel like in the Fire Nation, it's like, if you get burned, you deserve it. You know, it's like, it builds character or some, like, nonsense like that.
Yeah.
They do kind of act like that, huh?
That was definitely the point with Zuko, I think. Like, he thought he deserved everything he got. But, yeah, moving on. The plan to just basically teach Aang firebending and have him master all four elements and then defeat the Fire Lord, like, is this technically a good plan? Like, are like, you know, he's pretty powerful with the other three elements, obviously, and he needs to master the fourth one. But do you think that this would make all the difference when it comes to defeating the Fire Lord, or do you think he's going to need something more, like the Avatar State or something like that, like, because he reckons he can't do that anymore as of the last episode, which was discussed. So, yeah, Brittany, I'll go to you first this time. Like, do you think that this is going to be the solution to all Aang's Fire Lord problems?
No, I think the getting into the Avatar State has to come back because they keep, like, mentioning it. And since we're watching this in chronological order, I guess it makes sense that they keep, like, bringing up that his, like, what are they called, chakras? One of them is, like, now blocked or, like, ruined. And I think in order to defeat the Fire Lord, he's going to have to somehow manage to get back into the Avatar State in order to do that. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I think it's going to, no matter how great he gets at firebending or earthbending or whatever, it's just not going to be enough.
Anyone got a theory about how he's actually going to defeat the Fire Lord? Like, whether he's going to, like, kill him or, like, Voldemort him or, like, what's going to happen? Like, how is the Fire Lord going to end?
I mean, he can't die, I don't think, because it's a kid's show. And I don't, well, if he died, it couldn't be from Aang because Aang is, like, life-preserving. But I think now we know he has to, Aang has to be the one to take him down because Zuko's not going to do it.
Yeah.
He's like, that's Aang's job. That's the Avatar's duty. Whatever. But I thought it was really interesting how they actually brought up that they need a plan. Because, like, when they got there and Katara's like, Aang, we need to talk. I was like, oh, God, I cannot sit through, like, them discussing their feelings right now. I can't deal with it. But well, then
you thought it was going to be them talking about their romance?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Aang, what was that all about? Like, when you kissed me on the boat? Yeah. And no, thank goodness they didn't bring it up again. But they're like, hey, Aang, we need to figure something out. And he's like, I don't know if I want to. Let's just, like, go camping for 10 months and maybe we'll figure something out.
Yeah, I was so mad at him for his, like, little, I'm just going to glide and not hear you. I can't hear what you're saying. I was like, you little shit. I really wanted to smack him. But I also understand that he's very stressed and upset. But
no, I don't, okay? I'm so pissed off at Aang in this episode because it's like, you little cretin. Like, you know, like, we just came from, like, that like, tearful farewell to all of the people.
Yeah, all of those men who, like, went into prison for him.
Yeah, and then, and now he's like, okay, I mean, I'm not saying, like, I can't conceive of this happening from a psychological level, but I think it's dumb, you know, and it's just,
I mean,
like,
it makes sense.
Well, whatever, you know. Yeah.
He's a child.
Like, come on, get with it.
He's a little kid. He's immature, as we will discuss later, but I think it makes total sense, but that's why he needs, like, the big kids there to be like, hey, yeah, we need to figure this out right now.
Yeah,
the big whole world depends on it.
Who's his age, like Toph, who is the only one of
them.
Yes, Toph, like,
yes.
Yeah.
She's so reasonable.
Can I just say, who's going to look after those, like, earthbender kids, the, you know, the ones that didn't go to jail? Like, are they just going to hang around with, like, them for the rest of forever? Like, are they just gonna live in that air temple, like, by themselves, like Haru and that wheelchair kid and other, like,
other? How many is there? There's only three, right?
I think there's only three. Yeah,
I mean, they're small enough that they could easily be added into the gang, but I feel like the gang doesn't want them.
I feel like the show doesn't want them. Like, the show keeps being like, and okay, we're gonna go off and explore the temple. It's like, good, go away. Like, get out of the story.
They could be useful to them. Why don't they all talk it out? But no, they're like, you guys go. We're gonna talk over here.
You're not,
like,
really in the gang. You just need to leave us alone. Like, yeah. They've got to go somewhere because we, you know, they can't ride around on Appa because it's too heavy with all of them because they, you know, all had to shamefully walk or whatever it was. Like, but anyway.
Oh, jeez.
So let's go into Toph and Zuko and Toph's kind of logic about Zuko's appearance and his offer to them. I mean, first of all, let's talk about Zuko's offer to them and the way that he chose to approach them. How did that make everyone feel? Let's go around the
group. So warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah. Was it everything you'd hoped and dreamed for this moment?
Well, I was really mad that nobody wanted to listen to Zuko, but it makes total sense. Because, like, if we hadn't seen Zuko at all, and we just saw things from his perspective, I mean, they're being reasonable. Like, hey, you were just trying to kill us, and now you're, like, saying you're nice? No.
I think that a couple of them, like, a couple of them, at least Aang and Katara have experienced that Zuko is not as badass as he was making out to be, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think that from Toph's interactions with Iroh, she knows that Zuko is, you know, that he's a troubled young lad. And I don't know, I feel like that, you know, it could very easily be a trick or a trap of some sort. But, like, for me, it would be like a 50-50 toss-up of whether it was, yeah, like a trap or, like, whether it was, like, oh, yeah, this makes sense with those little troubled moments that we've seen of Zuko, like, for the characters. Like, mm-hmm. Because Aang knows that he's, you know, done some nice stuff or done some things that were, like, you know, clearly a conflict for him. And I don't know. I, as a lover of Zuko, am pissed that they aren't immediately like, oh, my God, good for you. So brave going against the Father Lord, if you know what I mean. But mm-hmm. But I do get it, I suppose, that they aren't all down with it. But
yeah, because like you've said, Katara and Aang have both seen how like wishy-washy he can be about this. Like, yeah, yeah. I think I'm going to change. Oh, never mind. Like, he's done that to both of them.
Yeah,
so the what, they're just going to tell him all their secrets so he can go run back to daddy later?
Exactly. Yeah. And the last time they saw him, they were both, like, was him, you know, turning his fire on Katara and Aang, you know? I mean, like, I don't...
Yeah.
I don't, like, you know, I actually slightly, you know, much as I love Zuko and want him to join the gang, find it slightly incredulous that they do actually accept him at the end of this episode. You know, if I were them, I'd probably still be like, yeah, like, there's, like, we'll find somebody else, you know, like, just the risk-benefit is, you know.
How much did your heart cry out when he was like, fine, if you won't accept me as, like, a member, maybe you'll take me as a prisoner? I died, but that's just me. Do you think that adds more credibility to his claim or just, like, his, you know, no. Is that like, oh, I would like, you know, he's really trying to spy. He'll do anything to try and spy, yeah, or something like that.
I think it still sounds like a spy to me.
I mean, let's talk about Serial for a second, though. Like,
oh, God. I haven't heard it, but okay. Well, this is going to happen again.
This is kind of the type of thing. It's like what you expect the person to say, to what you expect of the person's behavior is what you see, regardless of what they do. So, like,
yeah,
you know, like, in Serial, it's all the time, it's like, oh, well, this person said this. Well, obviously, they're guilty, but other people are like, no, that obviously means they're innocent. And this is, like, you know, obviously, we know that it's a very moving thing that Zuko is really, you know, is genuinely humble here and is willing to be their prisoner. But for them, it's just, like, why would they see that any differently than him just being, like, you know...
Like, Azula made him do it.
Right, exactly. And right, and they've just had this crazy interaction with Azula, and, like, you know, it almost compounds it. It's like, whatever Zuko is doing, like, they have no reason to believe that, like, that she hasn't, you know, even forced Zuko. Like, let's even give him that much benefit of the doubt. Like, force Zuko to be,
yeah,
you know, her pawn again.
What would it take for you guys, if you were in the gang, to believe him? Like, what would it have taken? Like, what would he need to do? Some sort of, like, penance? Or, like, what would it have taken for you to believe him?
I mean, I believed him.
As a member of the gang? Not you as an audience member.
But if I was... Oh, I guess. Maybe if he showed up with Iroh.
Yeah? Yeah, I like that.
I mean, I guess, like, I know you're kind of asking, like, what would you like him to, like,
I don't know.
Actually,
I don't know if
do?
I don't
should
think
he brought candy or something? Like,
like, I would definitely be the Katara in this situation. I don't think there's anything he could do that would make me trust him. Because even if he, like, turned on his dad or did something against Azula, I would feel like he had ulterior motives, like, okay, he just wants to be Fire Lord. He's done so much bad stuff now and had so much... Bless you. Are you sneezing?
Sorry, I just sneezed. Yeah, just hang on one second. Okay. I think we're okay. Sorry, start that again. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, he's just done so many bad things to them and had so many turnarounds. I would feel like he... I couldn't trust him because even if he was sincere in the moment, he could turn at any time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is a valid point that Katara makes later, even if she's a bit extreme. But, okay, so Toph is the one that, like, regardless of whether she trusts him or not, is like, you guys are not really appreciating the logic of this situation. And I don't know, you know, I don't know whether Toph is like, oh, yeah, we forgive you, Zuko, or whether it's just like, Aang needs a firebending teacher, here's a guy who's really good at firebending, and let's, like, at least see what we can get out of this. Did you think that that was a reasonable take on it, I guess? Like, or would you be kind of like, hell no, any other firebending teacher? Mikhail, what about you?
I don't know. I mean, like, I think, you know, I could see them making the, you know, the calculation that, well, if it is a trap, you know, we're, like, it's kind of like the situation can't really get any worse. So... you know, might as well have Aang, you know, as have his firebending lessons, and then we'll deal with, you know, whatever Zuko's inevitable evil plan is when that comes around, you know. So I could see that, and I think that's kind of what Toph is saying. I mean, like, no, she's not. She does seem to be trusting him more, but obviously, you know, she wasn't there in season one. You know, she was, yeah. Like, she didn't feel.
She also knows he's not lying, but you know, he does come from the Fire Lord family, and like Azula's lying skills apparently like don't work on, you know, like on Toph. Like, you know, she can't feel when Azula is lying, so maybe that's a family trait. But you know, Toph did seem to find it, you know, sincere that you know, what he was saying in his like, you know, little terrible speech. But I don't know. I was surprised that they didn't like, I know he's in prison and stuff, but I was surprised that they didn't think of Iroh as a firebending teacher. That they're like, let's go hunt down Uncle Iroh. We know he's a good dude, and he can teach Aang firebending.
Yeah.
Well, as far as they know, he's still in Fire Nation prison. So
they could have busted him out. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe that should have been on their agenda during the Day of Black Sun, but...
yeah. Seriously, yeah. Get Uncle Iroh out because Aang needs a firebending teacher. That would have been my
But plan. Isn't Iroh out?
Well, he is now, but
yeah,
they don't know.
I don't even think Zuko knows that, right?
He went to go look for him.
He went to get him out. Zuko's last thing when he left was like, we need to, I'm going to go bust out my uncle. And then he gets there and, you know, Iroh don't need the help of a little puny kid like Zuko to bust out of prison. So, yeah, he's long gone. But anyway, Toph goes off to visit Zuko in the middle of the night, which is, you know, a bit interesting, I guess, to talk to him more about his aims and objectives, but he sort of panics on the approaching of an intruder and like burns her feet, which this entire story that happened, first of all, we're being asked, we feel this is as a potential ship, as a little Toko ship. How did everyone feel about these two characters interacting, you know, in the shippable way or in the non-shippable way, I suppose. So, Brittany, how did you like them together?
I mean, I liked them together, but I never even for a second thought of them as a ship. Like, not even a little bit. So, yeah. But I like that they kind of can combat each other, but also have a little bit of a deeper understanding than most of the other characters are willing to give Zuko at this point. So I really liked that Toph went to go see him.
Yeah. Because I feel like she knows a lot about his uncle and has a lot of feelings about his uncle, and his uncle has talked, you know, Iroh's talked to her about Zuko, and that's important. There's one moment later in the season that I ship them, like one single sentence, but this is not that moment. but you'll see. The burning thing, the feet burning thing, is always interesting to me because it's like he automatically like lashes out like, oh, intruder, defend myself. Burns her accidentally, and he's immediately remorseful. And even by the time she gets back, she's like, well, it wasn't really his fault. So how did you sort of guys take that, like, as with firebending as a, you know, as I guess as a defense or as a not very well controlled defense? Like, is that just something that everyone risks? Like, oh, don't startle them when they wake up because they might, like, accidentally blast fire at you. Like, that's no way to live. Like,
that's like people who sleep with their gun, and, like, that's terrifying.
Yeah,
like, remember that guy from South Africa who, like, shot his girlfriend because she was in the bathroom and he thought she was an intruder? Yeah, right. But that
court case was questionable. But yeah,
like, no, it's still your fault. Like,
yeah, I'm not saying it's not his fault, but, like, you know, he knew that she wasn't, like, Toph knew that what he was doing wasn't like, oh, he's secretly evil and trying to attack us. Like, he, you know, lashed out in panic at random intruder and it turned out to be her, but shouldn't probably be lashing out with fire at any random intruder until you know if a physical fight is necessary. But yeah, did you guys, I guess, expect Toph to handle a situation like this, for her to straight up, because she crawls off being going, no, leave me alone, you're bad, leave me alone, but by the time she gets back she's like, well, it wasn't really like an attack. So she kind of came around to quote unquote reasonable pretty quickly. Mikhail, what did you think of her kind of reaction to that, I guess, and the from, you know, burning to healing and her explanation of it?
I mean, I find it disappointing. Like, I remember the first time I watched this, and, like, obviously I really, really, really wanted, you know, Zuko to just, like, kind of somehow be, you know, accepted by the gang, and, like, that would all happen, and Toph seemed to be his best, you know, option for that. And it was really frustrating to me when this happened, but, like, I mean, I don't, like, I get it, you know, I understand that, like, it's neither of their faults. Like, I understand that Zuko was, like, sleeping in the middle of nowhere all alone, and Azula could be out there, and who even knows, you know, he's the Rogue Prince, and his father just, like, he just, like, told his father to go, you know, F himself. And so I understand his reaction, and I also understand Toph's reaction, being like, oh, crap, I'm in pain, I can no longer see, and, I understand her, like, ah, they were right, taking over, and then as she got back, being like, ah, no, but whatever, you know, like, I understand both sides, even though what I really want is for them to sit down and have tea and talk about life, but.
Yeah, obviously. No, fair enough. I kind of like that she, obviously, you know, it's another obstacle between them trusting Zuko, but I like that, you know, by the time she got back that she was kind of like, oh, well, it wasn't like, oh, he's evil and attacking us, like that she kind of took that situation in, whereas someone else of the gang might not have had that reaction, and they may have held it against him a lot more. And it was interesting that we have this ongoing thing with Aang of him, you know, him saying, but he did firebend at you. No, he'll never be my teacher, because he's still so hung up about his, like, first attempts at firebending and how dangerous he thinks it is, and, you know, how that all comes around. But I enjoy that.
I do wish that Toph had been a little bit more, like, just so you know, guys, he was unconscious and, like,
yeah,
lashed out. It wasn't like he saw me or anything, you know.
Like, yeah. But, yeah, like, it's so clear that, like, you know, Aang has this hang-up about fire and the damage it can do, and about, you know, his first attempts in burning Katara. And then obviously Sparky Boom Man comes back as a convenient, like, you know, plot to get Zuko on their side, which is always interesting to me with Sparky Boom Man, is that he doesn't seem to have, like, a brain or a personality. Like, you know, why? Like, Zuko hired him. Zuko's paying him. If Zuko's saying, hey, no, don't do this anymore, why is he just like, yes, I must blast things? Like, is he a robot? Like, just, you can't deprogram him? I still don't understand anything about that. But, yeah.
Well, I think, like, if you can firebend from your head, like, something else isn't working in your brain. Like, good it must point. Cancel out something in there.
Yeah, good point. He's pretty erratic, I guess. He's maybe not the best assassin for Zuko to have hired. Do you think that that's a good enough way to prove, Zuko is on their side, like, to kind of defend them from the assassin that he hired himself, that they didn't know he hired, and he really dug himself into a hole on that one? But that fight between Zuko and Combustion Man, do you think that that was a sort of a good enough way to prove Zuko's loyalty, I guess? Brittany, how did you sort of take that?
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't think about this when I was actually watching it, but now that we're, like, hashing it out, that was, like, too convenient. Like, I feel like he could have been like, yes, meet me here. Like, if I was a member of the gang, I would have seen it as Zuko, like, telling this guy, like, okay, now I need you to follow me and come back here and try to attack him, but then I'm going to stop you.
And that's exactly what I thought, Brittany.
Yeah, I didn't think about
that
until now.
Do you guys really think Zuko is this smart?
No. That's why I didn't think about it until now.
He's Azula's brother. Azula is fucking brilliant. Like, yeah, she could have planned the whole thing.
But... I think even the gang know that when it comes to Zuko and Azula, like, Zuko is like this flopping fish and Azula is like this sleek shark, if you know what I mean. Like they know
this.
That Zuko
is so great.
Is
but they don't know that.
Like,
they've been
go follow Aang and then be like, I'm nice now, and then perfect. You can keep them there until the guy takes them out.
Okay. But then he fights him, like, and kills him. He sends
him
down
the
cliff.
The killing him is what kind of makes it, you know, if the guy had just, like, limped off or whatever, I don't think it would have been as persuasive. But the fact that, you know, well, although,
but
I mean,
Fire
it's really...
Nation. Do they really care about some guy, some nameless guy?
And
he
has a name. He
doesn't even talk.
Man.
And Sokka's the one who killed him, not... Yeah.
How did he die? Because I... rebound
no,
that, like,
that's not
times,
true.
And I
because
cannot
he
figure
hits
it
him
out.
With the boomerang. He hits him with the boomerang, but then he gets back up again. Like, he's down, and then he gets back up again, but then Zuko pushes him off a cliff.
I thought... Oh, no. He's trying to fire again. I mean, I don't remember the exact details, but he's... Like, the reason Combustion Man dies is because he blows himself up with his brain. Like, he...
Oh, okay.
Like, hitting him... It's the same way the thing happens in Korra. Like,
oh yeah, that. Okay.
Yeah. I just really don't like Combustion Man.
So
I think he's a stupid villain and like and it's not treated with appropriate weight by the show, and if they didn't have time to introduce this new villain, like seriously, like it's like we're supposed to be really scared of this guy for the first like 10 episodes and then it's like, oh, but whatever, he just dies and none of us really care or will comment about this again. You know,
Sorry, I'm still so confused. So he killed himself because his brain blew up?
Yeah, the way combustion bending works is that their fire bending is channeled through their third eye for whatever reason, and I don't know how it works, but however they figure this out, that's how they fire bend. And when, you know, Sokka, like, bonked him on the eye, it kind of, like, I guess blocked that chakra or whatever. So he literally blew himself up from the inside.
Ew.
Okay.
Oh, I thought he just didn't have control over where he was aiming anymore and, like, accidentally launched himself, like, crumbled where he was standing with his...
So then Zuko
powers,
had nothing to do with it, then.
I don't think so. That was, you know, I feel like listeners are, like, yelling at me now over the thing. Like, that's not what happened, but I did watch this, like, 2 days ago, so.
Yeah, I watched it on
Monday,
I
believe
so
you.
I don't know.
Yeah, I watched it, like, last Saturday, so.
Ariana, what would it take for you to believe Zuko is one of the gang?
If I was in the gang, I don't, like, 10 years later, 20 years later, after he had proved himself, maybe not even then, I don't know. I feel like I'm very untrusting once people do something bad to you. Like, it's like, shame me once, or what? How does that go? Like,
fool
hurt
me
once, shame
on
you.
Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah, that's how I feel like. And I feel like he's done it too many times to them. If I was them, it would take a lot, like a lot to trust him.
Fair enough. I mean, not to me. I would trust him at the drop of a hat because of that hair, but, you know.
He's so cute. He can't be bad.
Yeah, like, he's so cute. He talks to a frog. He's, like, grumpy. I love it. Like, I love that he's grumpy, like, that it's not even part of his angsty, like, oh, honor personality. That he's, like, grumpy and sarcastic as his actual personality as well. I love that.
Yeah. Like, but I do logically understand.
Yeah, I love that. I love that because it's his actual personality, not just, like, his angst, and it's great. But... yeah, okay. So do you guys think that he will make a good firebending teacher to Aang, like, now that he, you know, has been accepted and Aang says, you know, I think you are meant to be because I believe that you didn't mean to hurt Toph. And one time I hurt Katara and you know about this, so maybe this is good. So, like, Brittany, how did you feel about, like, their acceptance of Zuko, and do you think he is the right teacher for Aang?
I do think he's the right teacher for Aang, but I think Aang's going to have a problem because Aang puts so much, like, trust in Katara, and Katara is not having it. Like, she is not here for Zuko, which is bugging me, but also I'm loving every second of it. So I feel like Aang puts way too much, like, of his personal opinions with Katara.
And do you think he's going to be, like,
learning?
I was going to say, do you think he's going to be, like, conflicted, like, later, like, you know, like, Katara will be like, hey, don't trust him, or if there'll be, like, you know, fights, like, how Katara and Toph were, like, you know, you should teach him like this, and you should teach him like that. Do you think, like, Katara will, like, stick her nose in when they're doing a firebending training?
Oh, I hope so.
I don't think so. She's too passive-aggressive. She's going to be, like,
aggressive.
Yeah. She's just going to give him, like, nasty looks all the time, make it well known that she is not into it.
Yeah, do you think that she'll be all like, oh, well, if you're going to choose him over me, then, oh, get away.
Oh,
like,
definitely. Like, definitely.
One can only hope.
The thing is, I ship Aang and Zuko way more than I ship either Aang and Katara or Aang and or Zuko and Katara.
Do you see what a child he looks like next to Zuko? Like, especially once we get to the next episode, he is such a baby compared to Zuko.
I know, but a lot of it is the shaved head because he looks like a literal baby. But I'm not just talking about now. I'm talking about, like, in their life, like, in their, like, obvious massive future together that they're going to have, like, rebuilding.
But that's a little bit incesty, Natalie, because Aang is, like, literally his great-grandfather, so.
Yeah.
He's not literally. He's spiritually his great-grandfather.
Not literally, is it? Like, look, okay? Just look. It's fine. Look, we all have our things, and I enjoy them as a thing. Not like something that I've actively fandomed for, but I really, really enjoy, like, even what we see in the next episode and how it carries on. And I like them in theory better than I like Aang and Katara, certainly, or Zuko and Katara. So I want, you know, him to choose Zuko over Katara every time.
Basically. They definitely.
Well, if any of you could see, oh, go ahead, Ariana.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, they definitely have great chemistry. Like, I can see, because Aang doesn't really have a best friend. Like, he has Katara and Sokka and Toph, yeah. But they, like each other more than they like him, I feel like. So,
so you think Zuko is, like, Aang's best friend material?
I can see, yeah, I can definitely see them being, like, and they're both, like, kind of serious. Well, no, like, I feel like they think seriously. Like, they're thoughtful people.
Yeah.
While the other ones are more practical, they're more like ideas.
They're more like existential. Like,
yeah. So I can
totally
see them getting along. Like in,
I totally,
you know,
agree.
The future.
And it's not, and I don't think, like, it's too much. Like, it's, I'm not going to, like, give spoilers for the rest of the season. But, like, it's obvious that Zuko is not evil anymore, and he's not going to go back to being evil. Like, I'd hope that everyone understands that by this point. But, yeah, I can totally see, like, Aang and Zuko being, like, lifelong BFFs. Like, totally. Like, yeah. Anyway, someone who won't be his lifelong BFF is obviously Katara. So, how did you guys feel about Zuko and Katara in this episode? Like, because there was some serious hate going on here from Katara, like death threat level hate. So, do you guys just see that as, like, misplaced love? Or do you think Katara,
Yeah, it's misplaced love.
Like,
oh my
tongue
God,
in cheek,
so
shipping
sexy
aside. Okay, let's take this on two levels. On one side, shipping. On one side, do you think, like, in actual reality, that, like, Katara, like, hates him that much, or do you think she feels, like, let down by his, like, past? Like,
I
you know,
I really
oh,
don't think
where
she hates him. like, shipping aside, I think she feels betrayed. And she feels, like, kind of sad because she put all this, because she's so, like, hope, like, so hopeful. And she put all her hope into, like, he can change and be good. And then he, like, slapped her in the face, basically. And so I think she feels kind of butthurt about that.
She's like, you know, she was like, I was going to use my magic water on you.
Yeah.
I chose you to be the one. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, that threat was really, like, it was a death threat. It was very violent. Yeah. It was very hateful. Like, how did that make you feel, Ariana?
Well, I feel like you can only hate as, like, as far as you can love. Like, seriously. Like, they complement each other. So, like, the more you love someone, the more you can hate them. So, I really feel like that was just showing her deeper feelings. Because I was really worried there, guys. I really thought I was like, oh, okay, so my ship, it's like, I see the iceberg, it's going down, but I'm like, I'm going down with it till the end. But now I feel like, okay, maybe we can steer it away. I think I see hope here.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I definitely went on a Zutara tag search, which was not a good idea as a newbie.
Oh.
But I did
search the tags as a newbie.
Well, no, okay. I shouldn't say tags because I didn't go on Tumblr. I just went on a Google image search. And let me tell you something. My phone photo library right now is hilarious. And I'm trying to, like, figure out the perfect way to do this on the Rewatchable Twitter, but I have literally Zutara as, like, every, like, famous couple, like, recreated, like, Beauty and the Beast, and I have them all saved. They are so great. There's, a treasure trove of Zutara as other romantic couples out there, and it is the greatest thing I've ever done with my time.
That is so weird.
It's so great.
It was so sexy. I mean, you can't tell me it wasn't, Natalie. Like, she was all
up
in her
face,
and she was like, bruh, bruh, bruh. And he was like, whoa.
I genuinely don't think it was. I think that she's scary and mean to him, and I think that he's horrified by it. I don't find it. I've never, ever, ever got the tension. Like, I've never saw it like that. I've seen it as not sexy aggression, just aggression. Not that I think Katara and Aang have, like, epic chemistry either, guys. Like, it's, I don't know. I've never really seen any major romantic tension between, like, any characters on this show, except, like, Toph obviously having, like, a crush on Sokka for, like, 5 minutes, which they, like, kind of play up. Like, I've never seen legit romantic tension, and definitely, like, not to battle you on this, but I've never ever vibed it between Zuko and Katara ever.
On a more important subject, did you guys see how Sokka was carrying Toph around? Because I did.
Oh, yes. When she was
when Sparky first attacked, and they were like, oh my god, and
she can't see.
Yeah, and he picked her up and was carrying her away from the water cistern thingy.
That's precious. Find me a photo.
I mean, do you think, like, these kids are all, like, what about in, like, 5 years or, like, 10 years? Like, say when, like, they're, like, you know, 22 and 24 and stuff like that. Like, do you think that Sokka and Toph could get married or, like, you know, I guess I'm in Tara, but, you know.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if, like, Toph is the marrying kind, but
yeah, I don't think she is.
That's interesting.
Very interesting. I definitely that you feel like say that.
Yeah, that's yeah. You guys,
but
are
I think
good.
They could
anyway,
have some
carry
sex
on.
Times for sure.
Yeah, that could be fun.
What about Suki?
What about Suki's dead? Zura,
but I feel
Azula
like
tortured
Suki's
her
not dead.
Till she died.
I don't know. Now I'm so confused because Azula is awful and cruel and she's messing with my mind.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I've just found some really, like, it's not, like, graphic, but it's, like, way too sexy kissing of Zuko and Katara. And I, like, literally feel
yeah,
sick.
I think I saw
don't
that,
like,
too.
It. It's, like, it's a really hot picture, but I'm really upset by the pairing. Oh, this is the worst. Okay. Let us
Moving on.
What are you doing? This is terrible. Go away, Zutara. Okay. Back on... Oh, Now I have to look at this picture. I think it's the same one. Yeah, it's that's the same one. It's a great picture, but I hate it. Like, I can't look at it. All right, so, I mean, we have got the fantastic comparison here, presumably from Ariana, because it's in pink, saying that this is just like when she was mad at Jet because of love. So do you think that that's what Katara does? She just gets angry at people when she hates them and loves them?
Yeah, when they break up with her.
Oh, fair enough. She does. I mean, Zuko doesn't know he's in a relationship with Katara. Like, it's all in Katara's head. You know that, right? Like, but fair
well,
enough.
Well, Aang doesn't know he's not in a relationship with Katara.
Very good point.
That's very true. Very true.
Aang thinks that they're like,
she's hard to read.
Do you think Zuko still thinks he's in a relationship with Mei now that he's, like, fled the city?
I think
he left her that note.
I think he thinks he might. I think he still wants to be, but I think he knows he might have sacrificed that to fulfill his destiny.
But he's like life as being a nomad or whatever, yeah. And an avatar order. Yeah, fair enough. So yeah, I don't know if we're looking 10 years down the future. You know, who knows? Sokka might marry Ty Lee. Aang might. You know. Who knows? Aang's a monk. We don't even know where Aang came from in terms of, like, his parents. Like, whether all airbenders are, like, monks that just, like, form by, like, I don't know, like, cell splitting instead of, like, actual pregnancy. Because they all seem to be, like, religious monks. And I don't know whether
they, like, meet at, like, the lady and the man monks meet at one of the temples and
make babies.
Basically.
Yeah, and it's like what, like
that's
a religious
like the Eastern Air Temple. Like if you're going to the Eastern Air Temple, you're gonna have a good time.
Oh my god! Yeah, all right. We will move on from that to our favorite scenes of the episode because I don't want to think about the good times at the Eastern Air Temple. So, favorite scenes of this episode was for me easily. Zuko's existential forest crisis, like when he's like walking in and out of frame, like waving his arms around. Probably not only my favorite scene of the show, but of this episode, but of the entire series is Zuko's existential forest crisis. I just love it. I want to hug him. I want to date him. I want to cradle him like he's my baby son. I love him. Like he's so ridiculous. And I also kind of teared up when they bowed to each other with the Fire Nation bow at the end, him and Aang. I love it. But anyway, moving on. Brittany, how about you for your favorite scene?
Well, narrowing down his existential crisis. Mine was like a specific moment in that. It's when he does Iroh, an impression of Iroh, and then he does an impression of Azula. And it was just so funny to watch his voice change and then him be like, even I don't know what I'm saying when I'm pretending to be Uncle.
Yeah, I mean, how did you guys feel about seeing Zuko a little bit like, it's that episode of New Girl where she's like, I'm off the grid. He's like, Zuko off the grid is like, he's like crazy, but he's like a little bit more relaxed and silly. And I don't know, I love seeing him like that. So, yeah.
I loved his little hip thrusts when he was Azula.
Yeah. Ariana, how about you for your favorite scene?
I mean, obviously it was Katara and Zuko's sexy confrontation because she wants it. She just doesn't know it yet, but she does.
Can I just say, I came into the dock to do the rest of my quotes and stuff last night. It was, you know, this morning for you guys. I don't know what time it was. But Ariana, you'd come in here just to put in this scene. Like, you hadn't filled in the rest of your stuff yet. You just wanted to secure this scene. Like, you were worried someone else would take it.
Yeah.
I think you would concede that to you regardless. So
I was considering it.
Yeah? Fair
enough. I find it a very... I mean, by this point in the series, I'm really not shipping Zutara anymore. But I just find it a very dynamic and interesting scene. And it's very interesting to see Katara go mean. You know,
I think Zuko's constantly like gobsmacked by Katara. Like he literally doesn't know how to handle her. But do you think Katara would actually kill Zuko? Like if he put a foot wrong, like literally kill him?
I think she would. Yeah. I think she has it in her.
If she thought Aang's life was in danger or Sokka's life was in danger, yeah.
She could do some bloodbending on him.
Yeah, she looks nice, but she ain't nice.
All right. Well, Mikhail, which scene did you end up picking?
I just like when Zuko shows up there. I just dropped my phone. When Zuko shows up there and was like, you know, trying to convince them to make him part of the team, and they were all like, no, we hate you, and which I completely understand, as I said before, but then Toph was like, weren't we just talking about Aang being a firebending teacher? And, like,
here is one.
New one shows up on a silver platter. Like, I just love that, like, that Toph is the reasonable one of all things, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Now, favorite quotes, there was literally, a three-way gang war here, so... I tried to get Mitch. I'll admit to some sabotage. It was mainly a joke. But on Glee Chat, which we recorded last night, I asked Mitch to give me this quote in the doc before he posted it for you guys. And I took it back. I said, no, don't do that. It's okay. I'm sort of joking. But really, you know, you could. But don't. But you could. But dark.
I woke up this morning and I was like, I don't even care. I got 8 hours of sleep. And didn't wait for the doc to go up.
Well, at 1 a.m. last night, I saw the doc go up and was desperately like, I was like I getting ready for bed.
Like, yeah, and Nicole, in my phone. That's just a little sad.
It was not. Excuse me. Okay, this is the only time I've done this. How many times has Natalie been like, this quote, I jumped into the doc. This is
true.
The only time that this week I was like, nope, this one. I want this one.
This was like the one that literally, like, of all quotes, the entire, except for just take the bear, this and just take the bear were like the ones that I was like, from the start, I was like, I can't, like, this is the, anyway. The line that we're talking about, let's just let Mikhail go first out of order, because she did end up winning this competition, because I think even though I got the doc open first, my mobile app failed and I did not have the option to run to a computer and jump in like she did.
I ran downstairs at 1 a.m. to do this. Hello, Zuko here, but I guess you probably already know me, sort of. So the thing is, I have a lot of firebending experience, and I'm considered to be pretty good at it. Well, you've seen me, you know, when I was attacking you? Yeah, I guess I should apologize for that. But anyway, I'm good now. I mean, I thought I was good before, but now I realize I was bad. But anyway, I think it's time I joined a group and taught the Avatar firebending. And then I added on at the end, I got it, bitches. Because I did, and I never win anything, but I won this.
Yeah, you deserve it. It's fine. You made a great effort. You deserve it. But I think three out of four of us wanted, hello, Zuko here, because it is the pinnacle moment of life as we know it, pretty much, is that stupid face and his stupid arm waving, and I'm, like, so unbelievably fond that it's disgusting. But... we'll go down the rest of the list in order with all of the subpar quotes, basically.
Episode had a lot of great ones that happened.
It was. I'm not going to lie. But it was – mine was another bit of Zuko's later on after he burns Toph, and he's just like, why am I so bad at being good? Which – is almost as good and super fabulous, because I love that little drama queen. But anyway, let's carry on down the list. Brittany, how about you?
Mine is when Zuko finally gets to the gang and he says, I know you must be surprised to see me here, and Sokka butts in and goes, not really, since you followed us all over the world.
I did like that. I was quite surprised at how fast Sokka accepted him into the, like, you know, it's like, here's your room and, like, you know, whatever. Like, I was quite surprised about how, like, Sokka's acceptance of him. And I can't remember if he has any conflict about that later on, but I would be interested, because Sokka is very quick to cast judgment on people and be like, that guy's evil. So, yeah, interested there. But Ariana, how about you?
Mine was when they were trying to decide, like, which firebending master they should use. And they're like, well, we could just, like, go get Zhang Zhang again. And Toph is like, who's... never mind. If it's important, I'll find out. Because I forget all the time that she's only been here for, like, a little bit, like, half the series. She's so important now.
Yeah, she is. And I think that that's a good, like, audience surrogate line. Like, you know, if you know, if you don't, if you miss something, you know, and it's mentioned again, like, it's not, you know, if it's going to be important, they'll let you know. And if it's not, you can just, like, take it as it comes, if you know what I mean. And I thought that was funny. But we'll go on to the second episode that we've done, Chapter 13, The Firebending Masters, which I love as well. It's such a good episode. In this chapter, Zuko can only make little poots of fire, so him and Aang traverse to the... What?
That's a funny word.
I didn't write it. Mitch wrote it. So him and Aang traverse to the Sun Warrior's ruins to discover the origin of all firebending. After narrowly escaping an Indiana Jones spike pit trap, Zuko and Aang learn a pretty princess dragon dance, which activates a switch for a golden egg. Since Zuko really needs to study up on his Tomb Raider, he foolishly grabs it, rushing sticky goo in to drown the boys. It's a good thing that the Sun Warriors are still a thing, though, because they have hungry anteaters that seemingly love this goo and are kept around for the sole purpose of eating its leftovers. Although Zuko thought his ancestors had hunted down every last dragon, it turns out Iroh lied about killing the last two. The Sun Warriors send the boys with a bit of everlasting flame up the mountaintop to be judged by the dragons Ran and Shaw. The dragons ignore the fact that Zuko's lineage all but made them extinct and gift him and Aang superpowered firebending. Back at camp, Sokka laughs at the frilly dragon's dance. So this is obviously the first episode with Zuko as part of the gang properly and him trying to teach Aang. So the first point is
Or as it's known in the fandom, field trip number one.
Oh, true. Very true. Field trip number one. You know, to be continued, you know, which is, God, such a, we're in the home stretch now with episodes that are just like, bang, I love you, bang, I love you, I love you. I love all of these episodes, mainly because of Zuko and his failure being part of the gang. I really hope, by the way, last week that someone picked the tea and failure quote as their favorite line in one of the episodes. Because I have a friend who had that as their Twitter bio for, like, 4 years. Zuko, the first point is his firebending is gone because he needed rage and angst to firebend. And this is interesting because, like, did you guys ever expect to see this? Like, with a person, I guess, to have their bending gone because, like, the drive that it came from isn't there anymore. Like, I don't know if this is something that would apply to the other forms of bending, whereas fire seems much more internal. Obviously, we've discussed many times that, you know, earthbender, airbender, waterbender, you need the element existing, whereas fire, you make it from within you. So, first of all, like, Brittany, is this something you ever expected, like, to see that, like, you know, Happy Zuko would, like, no longer be able to firebend?
But I feel like he never really got rid of his rage. Like, I think Mitch makes a good point in, like, his second comment underneath it saying, yeah, like, he still has plenty of rage. I just don't see how he can, like, he can't redirect it because I don't see him as being, like, completely happy and good. No. But I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't expecting his firebending to just poot. So nicely put.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird, I suppose, that he can't, like, redirect the rage and angst, because he had that kind of, you know, metamorphosis, in Ba Sing Se when he, you know, rolled around sweatily in the bed. Mikhail, you're killing me. When he rolled around sweatily in the bed and then came out the other side, like, allegedly peaceful. So, like, is that all undone now? Like, he could still firebend after that. So,
yeah, I don't know. That's a good point because I didn't even think about that. And that was when he was, like, creepy happy.
Yeah, super zen, tea shop zen.
I don't think that was real. I mean, I don't think, you know, I mean, first of all, he didn't really, like, he didn't firebend in that, like, super zen state. He only started firebending once Azula was there.
Yeah, but that's true.
That
is true.
I think that
was
something...
he was able to light the candles before he ditched his
That
feet.
Only takes a poot. It's fine. yeah.
But, like, but, you know, right, at this point he has that dream was something that happened to him. This is a choice that he's made and now he's like like, I don't want to say, like, suffering the consequences, but I mean, like, now he's trying to call on that reservoir of what, you know, that has basically been nullified by making this decision. Yeah.
And, but I mean, like, was he really ever that good in the first place? I feel like they never showed him being, he was always kind of lame.
No, he was good. You just usually saw him fighting Azula, who's, like, creepy good.
I like the theory that Zuko is not the greatest firebender, you know, like, I know he says, like, oh, I'm considered to be pretty good at it, and, like, maybe he's in, like, I don't know, maybe he's, like an A-minus student, but yeah.
He's okay.
I mean, I love the fact that, like, he's still badass with his swords and whatever, he, like, figures out how to make, you know, even if he's not the best firebender.
Well, that's something that I thought was really evident in this episode, like, when he runs up the wall and all of that shit. Like, he's really trained in, like, physical combat, like, that's not bending related. And I don't know if that's because he didn't, like, think his bending was that good, if you know what I mean. Or maybe he only became super, like, powerful when he started, like, avatar hunting and had the rage or whatever. But, you know, even in the last episode when Ozai's like, I'm helpless, you have your swords. Like, Ozai, really? You can't, like, get up and punch a bitch? Like, you can't, like, you really are just going to sit there and, like, you're like, I only firebend. I can't do anything else. It's like, you're a powerful, like, adult man. You don't know how to fight, like, at all. And I don't know if it's, like, considered, like, beneath him or something. But I love all of Zuko's, like, combat and physicality stuff aside from his firebending. I also really like that he doesn't seem that concerned that his firebending is gone for himself. He's just like, shit, how am I going to teach Aang? If you know what I mean. Like, he's not like, oh my god, a part of me is gone. Like, I kind of like that he was cool with it. Like, except for the needing to teach Aang. I don't know. Was that something anyone else noticed? No, just me.
No. Okay,
that's fine. I really liked
that's
it.
That's a nice point. I liked how angry he was, mostly. I just thought it was funny.
You liked his suffering. Okay. Well, so this is obviously like a, you know, Aztec style temple, and that they go to, the Sun Warriors Temple, which was very Indiana Jonesy in terms of the booby traps that have been working for hundreds or thousands of years. And so, yeah, just would have you guys fallen into the pit or grabbed the golden egg or been crushed by the giant rolling boulder, which we were expecting to happen at any moment, basically. Yeah, so I guess the Sun Warrior Temple, like when you kind of saw, oh, big thing, were you expecting booby traps / Indiana Jones style montages in this world, I guess?
No.
No. I don't know. I was, like, more preoccupied with the fact that it looked so, like, Mesoamerican. I was like, this is so cool.
So. Yeah, this is definitely, like, once we see the people of the Sun Warrior, they definitely, like, nearly everyone in this series definitely looks like sort of Asian descent, like most of the Earth Nation, Fire Nation, and the Air Nation all look like an Asian type background, and obviously the water tribes are kind of like an Inuit style like physical look, whereas these guys do not look like any of those things. So I guess, yeah, when you got to the Sun Warrior Temple, did anyone expect to see that the Sun Warriors were actually still there? What were you thinking that they would learn when they got there? So yeah, Brittany, like when they went on the field trip to the Sun Temple, I guess, as we went through the various stages of booby trap, were you expecting to actually see these Sun Warriors still existing in secret at all, or did it surprise you?
I wasn't expecting to see people. I was expecting to see dragons, just because they made such a point of, like,
the dragons are dead.
Emphasizing the dragons are dead, guys.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought that, like, I expected something along the lines of, like, the dance that they did to open up the, like, secret egg compartment.
Oh.
But I wasn't expecting people to come out. I thought maybe, like, a dragon would come out, and it would be sort of like an owl situation where the dragon's like, hey, guys, so here's what you need to do.
I didn't think there would be full-grown dragons. I thought they were going to have, like the egg was going to be, like, little baby dragons, like little baby Danny dragons that would hatch and the Zuko would raise.
That's so cute. I wish that had been what it was. Yeah, Michal, how do you feel about this episode, like, you know, in terms of the, I guess, the, like, the dynamic with Aang and Zuko immediately, like, you know, going off alone together? Like, is anyone surprised that, like, Katara let them go off alone together or anything?
That was my first thought. I was like, how can all these people let him? Okay, I get that you, like, are willing to let him be the master trainer because you need somebody there. But how can you just let him run off with the Avatar by himself? How do you know he's not, this isn't a trap? He just came back on.
No. Yeah. I don't know. It's, I mean, I'm just mentally already trusting Zuko because I know him and love him, but I am quite surprised that they didn't, you know, send some sort of chaperone, basically.
Well, like, was Appa there? Know. Did they go on Appa?
They went on Appa, yeah, so, because,
I mean,
what, Appa's the chaperone?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, I'm not saying it's not, like, something of a plot hole, but I guess Katara was like, well, Aang can probably take care of himself and, you know, with Appa there.
You know. I mean, unless Zuko leads him to the Fire Lord, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that.
I was like, Aang's too smart to fall for. No, he's not.
I feel like that they've just, like, the show has just decided, okay, everyone except Katara is just cool with this now. We're just going to treat Zuko like an equal and we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't know if that's the smartest idea, but I feel like that's where the group is at the moment. That being said, I want to know, like, you know, how Aang and Zuko's goo bonding experience was, because so they you know, they do the dance.
Is this part of your shipping?
No, I'm just curious. They do the dance. You know, Zuko grabs the golden egg because he thinks it has all of the answers. Like, which, by the way, would have you guys taken the egg off the pavilion, like, off the pillar? Like, Michal, would have you expected that to be, like, a, you know, some sort of trap or curse?
I would never have gotten that far. But I never would have gotten that far. Not even an option.
It's exactly the response I was, like, saving. I'm like, I wouldn't have even made it, like, or figured out
how. You would have fallen into the pit of spikes.
I probably would have tripped a trap that wasn't even there. Yeah.
Like a giant nest of bees would have come after you or something.
Yeah.
Okay, but, you know, these two boys, they're relatively resourceful and you know, they've got skills. You know, like, Aang can, like, hover himself by blowing out of his mouth, and Zuko can run up walls, apparently, which is fun. But once they get stuck in the goo, we see it sort of go from, like, day to night, basically, with them, you know, just stuck there in that room flooded full of goo. So what do you guys think they talked about in that, like, 7 hours that they were stuck on that, like, grate together?
Katara.
Any thoughts? Oh my god, like, do you reckon that, like, Zuko just sat there and, like, told Aang his whole life story and, like, the truth of everything, and, like, now Aang trusts him even more? Or do you think they, like, played I Spy, or, like, what do you think went down basically in the goo? Or what do you want to have gone down in the goo?
I don't know. I feel like Aang probably took a nap and Zuko was just, like, brooding and thinking about Iroh. And then Aang woke up from his nap, and Zuko was like, oh, hey, we're still trapped. I haven't figured out how to get out of here yet.
For any Teen Wolf fans out there, it kind of reminded me of the bit where Stiles and Derek are stuck in the pool floating together when they're paralyzed from the Kanama venom. Which, again, was, like, 6 hours of, like, conversation that we didn't see that I would love to know what happened in that bit, which I've never thought about in a comparison to this before, just watching it today, probably because I haven't watched it in a while. But, yeah, so they eventually get out and they get, like, cleaned off by those, like, anteater things, again, which I don't know if they keep them around just to eat the goo, but it sure is convenient. And that they learn that the Sun Warriors were around and alive and there to, I guess, judge them. So what was everyone's first impression of seeing this sort of civilization still alive? Ariana, I know you had some feelings about it.
Yeah, I was just super excited when all the Aztecs came out, because I was like, my people, so...
Is this exciting. Where you feel like you fit in the Avatar world now? Has this opened up?
Oh, I definitely do. Yeah, well, okay, this is, like, a rewatchable exclusive, but the day I watched this, I actually found out, because my uncle, he was doing a family tree, and on my grandpa's maternal side, I'm a direct descendant of Montezuma, So I'm like an Aztec princess, guys, which basically means I'm like a Fire Nation princess now. So
wow, so you could give Azula a run for her money then.
Yeah, on my dragon that I would probably have. So
well, I still think that the dragons need to prove that you're worthy. Mm. So we need to go and find the dragons.
Okay.
I'm sure they will.
I'm down. Let's do it.
I think that, you know, you have a good chance. I think that, one thing I really liked about this was that you see the origin of firebending with these people. Obviously, the origin of firebending is the dragons, but you see these firebenders and you discover that their whole, like, culture and their whole take on fire is totally different to, the Fire Nation that we know and love, kind of. And that they have a whole different take on it, and that, you know, that firebending isn't meant to necessarily be this, like, crazy, like, anger-filled, like, combative thing. Another thing about, like, Zuko is right at the beginning, like, he kind of says, like, I don't want my firebending to be, like, fueled by rage and angst anymore, if you know what I mean. Like, even if he was ragey and angsty about something else, like, he doesn't want it to come from there. And we discover these people that are all, like, not peaceful exactly, but, like, they're not, you know, crazy Fire Nation people. And I really love that, like, I guess that kind of final vindication that, like, fire isn't, like, the bad guy element, if you know what I mean. Like, that it's not... Mm-hmm. The evil element of the four, and it's not the, you know, everyone Fire Nation is bad. So I enjoyed that. But obviously the nicest firebender in the world is still Uncle Iroh. We've heard it a couple of times about, you know, Iroh being the dragon of the West and how, like, you know, my uncle killed the last dragon. And then it's discovered that, you know, when we see that the dragons are alive, that Iroh lied about killing the dragon in order to make people stop coming after them. So how did that entire experience about Uncle Iroh make you feel? Like, Brittany, how did it feel to discover this story unfold?
I was really pumped about anything to do with Iroh and him being just so much cooler, because he is in, like, this White Lotus thing, and he protects the dragons, and, like, then you get, like, this whole thing where Zuko has to be tested by the dragons, and you know that he's a descendant of Iroh, and it was just so great, and I miss Iroh so much.
That reminds me, so when they came here, I totally thought that the White Lotus people were going to be there, because they were talking about, like, how the Fire Masters or whatever, and I thought it was going to be the White Lotus people, but obviously dragons are better.
Yeah, and they kind of hinted at the board in the last episode, because there was, like, that game on in the Air Temple.
I think that, you know, there's a lot of good secret societies in the Avatar world, apparently. So yeah, but this one is super, super secret. I don't know, the Iroh thing, it seems so natural and nice, but, like, I guess that people just accepted, like, for, like, 50 years or whatever, that Iroh killed the dragon, and, like, that was fine. Like, Aang kind of questions that as well. So when we finally see the dragons, and they, I guess, they test Zuko and Aang. I know one of you guys mentioned a second ago, like, you're expecting it to be, like, the owl and them to, like, teach them lessons. Like, were you surprised that the dragons were very animalistic, that they weren't, like, talking spirits and stuff like that? Like, is that kind of how you saw the dragons in this world, or were you expecting, like, a spoken life lesson, wise old dragon kind of thing? Ariana, was it you that mentioned them talking, or was it Brittany?
Oh, no, it was me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought that they were going to talk, but when I thought that there weren't people there.
Okay.
So once that there were people there, I was okay with them, like, being animalistic. Especially because, like, Toph learned from the badger moles and they didn't, like, speak to her.
Yeah.
I feel like these dragons can totally talk. They're just so unimpressed. Like, they have no reason to.
I would like to think that, yeah. Like, it would be nice. But, yeah,
have
now
we
we've
seen...
Oh, yeah,
have
sorry,
we seen Roku's... Roku has a dragon, right? And he doesn't talk.
No, we saw Roku's dragon die with him. Like, he came and curled up around him when Roko got, like, covered by the volcano. But I don't think
I guess it's like an Appa thing. Like, Appa doesn't talk.
So. Yeah. Except if you're high.
Except if you're high, yes.
But, yeah, that's true. I don't know. I kind of like that they don't talk as well. But yeah. So, did you think... big question here to do with the dragons, the biggest question to me. Mitch has put this point here that the, like, by killing a dragon, you inherit its power. And then, like, Iroh, I guess he's just, like, super strong naturally. Do we think that that's literally what happened? Like, you kill the dragon and you inherit its actual power? Or was it just, like, a bragging rights thing? It's like, oh, I must.
Bragging rights. I don't think
I agree.
Like, oh, I must be strong. I took down the dragon, therefore I am strong. It's not like a literal magical transference.
Yeah, and no one's going to question you. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, he took down a dragon. Like, it's not like you're able to do what Iroh does, where he breathes fire out of his, like, mouth. Which is so cool.
And I guess they memorized that dragon dance only after doing it only one time, which was great. Like, they must both have a natural talent for that. Well, I can imagine Aang having, like, a natural talent for dance, and then Zuko probably learnt all of the, like, courtly dance rules, etc. Which was bending. Cute.
You know, you memorize a series of steps, so, like, this one is not that difficult.
Plus, they had a lot of time to think in the goop. Maybe he just, like, replayed it over and over and over in his head.
Yeah, that's what they were doing. They were clearly, like, talking out their, like, rehearsal of the dance steps so that they could, like, show everyone.
Next time, you really have to dip me farther. Come on, go for it.
Like, we're never going to win on Dancing with the Stars if you don't step up your game. My biggest question about this was, were you guys expecting them to both be judged worthy, even though their, like, flames went out, like, that they had to carry, and that, like, Zuko comes from, like, a race of, like, you know, evil dictators or whatever? Like, so were you expecting any, like, questions about the worthiness? Like, oh, you must have to prove something else, or do you think that they both deserved their kind of worthy, magical, colored fire tornado thing?
I think they deserved it, because, like, Zuko does come from a very bad line, but he has a struggle within him, as Iroh might say, but he also comes from Iroh, so...
And Roku.
So I feel like Zuko is pretty much, he's all right, deep, deep down, and he's just finding that, and Aang, there was never a question in my mind that he would have any problem, because he's the Avatar. Yeah.
Even though his little flame thing went out.
Yeah.
Ariana, how about you? How did you think that they went with their worthiness test? And what do you think they saw in the magical colored flames that made firebending, like... Because Zuko's are like, I understand. What? What do you understand? Like, what? Like, what happened there?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. Mikhail, any deep thoughts about, like, what they understood in the fire?
I mean, I think what they got was that, like, it's not a, like, what Zuko says later, that, you know, it's not powered by rage, it's powered by, like, your own connection to the fire, you know, and, like, and this idea of, like, life and positivity, you know. I don't know how they understood that. By the dragons and just doing this dance.
I guess Zuko speaks dragon. Now.
I guess,
like,
yeah.
Like, that's fine.
Although, oh, I shouldn't say that. That's kind of a core spoiler. let's just say, never mind. I won't say it. Anyway,
does he speak dragons? Can he turn into a dragon? Oh, that would be awesome.
Maybe. But yeah, and I mean I like that a lot, because again, like, I think this whole thing is, like, a teeny little bit easy, like, oh, okay, we're good now, we understand. But I still enjoy the idea that, like, fire is life, and, like, I have a friend who, like, kind of makes fun of that a little bit. But I kind of think that it's not the way fire has been portrayed so far in the series. You know, so it is, like, it's not like a earth-shattering revelation, but it's something that, but it is a different perspective on something that we've kind of thought for a while, you know?
This definitely does a better job. Like, I'm going to compare this to Harry Potter. This yes. sort of revelation with the the sun warriors, definitely, like, gives a better impression of, like, hey, fire didn't come from an evil place. Like, you know, firebending doesn't come from an evil place. Like, firebenders aren't, the bad nation than Harry Potter ever does to being, like, hey, Slytherins aren't, like, just evil, if you know what I mean. Like, in Harry Potter, there's a few Slytherins that are, like, you know, we...
Not really. Okay. They all suck.
No! There's a couple that are not outright evil. There's some that are, like, annoying, like Slughorn. And there's some that are like, oh, you're so noble, etc., like Narcissa Malfoy and Regulus Black and stuff like that. Regulus Black is by
far
the best.
But they do terrible things before.
Yes. Yes, they do. That's true.
So they're still, like,
Slughorn
terrible people.
Didn't. He was never, like, a bad, like, but he's, like, a joke. Yeah. There's definitely – they never got a fair go in terms of, like, hey – like, we're not all evil, but I think that this did a better job of really showing that this in this world that firebending in and of itself and where, you know, the fire element comes from is not, like, the bad guy place. And I really like that because I agree with that and I like that a lot. So, yeah. I don't know. Does anyone else have any other questions or thoughts about this episode before we go on? Aside from that, we've now seen the source of all of the original bendings, which is obviously Toph and the Badger Moles, like, and them, you know, her learning their method of earthbending, and they were the first ones that did it. You know, Sky Bison were the airbenders who apparently, like, passed that knowledge on to people. Dragons, the firebenders. And then there's no super cool water animal that did waterbending. It's just the moon. Like,
But womp, womp.
Yeah. But yeah, we've seen all of those, like, sources of bending now, which is kind of cool. But yeah, any other thoughts / questions about the dragons, sun warriors, etc. before we go on to our favorite scenes?
Nah.
All good? Beside from the fact that Ariana will go off and run away and live with them and be their queen at some point. Yeah.
Would have been nice if they had had a female chief.
That would have been cool. Yeah, it was a lot of big dudes. But yeah. Favorite scenes. Mine was the bit at the beginning where Sokka's like, "Oh, Zuko needs to be angry, no problem," and just, like, poking him in the head with his, like, pokey stick. I love that. I also like the magic fire dragon colors, but mainly the pokey head stick situation. Brittany, how about you?
Mine was finding out that Iroh was the last person that the dragons deemed worthy before Zuko and Aang got there.
Oh, yeah, it's good. I would like to see Iroh again soon. Who knows where he is, on the run from the prison. Ariana, how about you for your scene?
So I'm looking at these pictures of the Sun Warriors, and you're right, McCall. They totally, like, they're all these, like, giant men.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is, like...
They need a tiny princess.
Definitely stereotyping, but that's fine, I guess. But they were my favorite, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And how about you, McCall?
I love the scene with Toph and the Badger Moles. I can't with the cuteness. It is too adorable and sweet, and yeah, I love it so much.
My question about that is, and I don't know if this is, like, something that, like, do you think that Toph was born a bender, like, literally from birth, and she was born a bender and she didn't, like, really know what to do with, obviously, as a 3-year-old child? Or do you think the Badger Moles, like, she met her and literally gave her bending abilities?
No, I think she was a bender.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody I'm not was teaching sure. her. I mean,
yeah, I'm not sure about how they. I mean, she was very, very young, but I'm not sure about how the, you know, animals ended up teaching / transferring the bending powers to people in the first place. Like, when the first people learned from the first benders.
I don't think they transferred it. I think they just, like, they were doing it, and people were like, "Oh, hey, I can do that too," you know.
Yeah, fair enough. Like, I can do those moves. Yeah. Oh, look, things happened. Favorite quotes. from this episode. Mine was Aang and Zuko in the goo, unsurprisingly. But yeah, just Aang saying, well, what do you think we should do? And Zuko says, think about our place in the universe. And who has put this in brackets that I took this line from them?
Me.
I'm sorry. The other one I was going to say was the, like, I can't remember what it was, but the guy talking about, like, it being a... There was a really, really funny line from one of the Aztec guys about, like, their society being a secret, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it was great. Sorry that I stole that from you. Brittany, how about you?
Okay, so mine was previously on Avatar. Hello, Zuko here.
Really, Brittany?
Let it be known that Brittany is a huge cheater and a cheater, and she has just cheated.
Really?
Listen, I had this in my back pocket since there was a breakout in the group about who gets the line.
I mean, I get it. I get this is a really, really clever way around everything.
Because technically it did happen in this episode.
But it's not a line from this episode.
No, fair enough. Something I actually wanted to point out quickly before we carry on is did everyone notice that when they were meeting the dragons that the Aztec guys were, like, playing the tune on the drums? That's the original, like, theme music for the show. This is what the theme music for the show is.
No, that
it's
the magic, awesome.
That it's the magic fire, like, you know, fire warriors, like, drum song. Yeah, so that's exciting to see the origin of that, and yeah, it's cool. But yeah, Ariana, how about you for your favorite quote?
Mine was when they were talking about firebending, and they said, "Fire is life, not just destruction." And that made me feel really nice because I always get sorted into like the evil house, and I like that. That at least this one is like well-rounded.
Yeah, it is. I think that's a very important part of this episode. And Mikhail, how about you?
I really like, well, I have two, but this one is, you know, Aang, when Zuko is like, oh, you know, Iroh, you know, killed the last dragon, and Aang's like, but I thought your uncle was, like, I don't know, good? And Zuko says he had a complicated past, family tradition, I guess. And that's just like, oh, so true.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
And what was your other one?
Oh, the other one is just, like, when Aang's holding the fire, and he's like, it's like a tiny heartbeat.
Oh, that was cute. Yeah. That was cute. There were a few moments really great. Like, I really, really loved Aang at the beginning, being like, Appa's right, Zuko. Usually, in this group, we start out our missions with a more positive attitude. It was so ridiculous. And what about this situation makes you think they want us to dance? I love sarcastic, done-with-life Zuko. But, yeah, this was great. Many, many good parts in these episodes, and we will move on to a little bit of feedback before we finish up. So, once again, if you have anything for us about this episode, you can reach us on rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com, Twitter @re_watchable, this post on hyperbole.com if you want to leave a comment about this episode. And if you review us on iTunes, that would be really great. If you rate us 5 stars, then Karen will choreograph a beautiful, majestical dragon's dance with you and show it off in front of your closest friends and family. They might laugh at you, but you should be proud anyway. So we've got quite a few comments here, and let's go
iTunes.
Down.
iTunes.
Oh, this is an iTunes review. Okay, that's great. So we have a 5-star review, so Karen will be really excited to fulfill whatever their requirement was. But let's go down in the same order that we've done the quotes with some of these feedback. So we have a 5-star iTunes review by Zelai23. I hope I've said that right. They've headlined it, Flying Kickapow. My best friend referred me to this Atla podcast just last month, and it has since become an essential part of my day. Whether I'm at the gym, getting ready for work, in the car, or even in the shower, you're all there with me, whether you like it or not. okay, dude.
I like it.
I look forward to all those newbie theories, superfan spoilers, and synopsises with the Fire Nation attacks. By the way, I'm a bit behind on the episodes and I would explode, hopefully not while I'm driving to work. Like Combustion Man, if any of you read my comment in a future episode, can't wait for the Ember Island Players chapter, Honor, which really hope you're not driving as well. No. We are reading the comments, so we're going to hopefully, I tried to not to recite the honor with the full backup that it deserves because I'm too scared of spoilers. But I really hope you're not driving to work because we are reading your comment. So thank you very much. And yeah, please contact Karen. Her Twitter is Karen_Rort if you would like to fulfill your 5-star iTunes reward, and we'll make sure that happens for you. Cool. Okay, so who's the next person? Brittany, do you want to read the next comment?
Yeah, so this one comes to us from a post on Hypeable, and it's from Desiree Inspires, and they say, I still want to know how Iroh broke out of jail. He knew some other kind of bending besides firebending. Trust me. So I hope this was a newbie comment, because they start off by saying, I want to know how Iroh broke out of jail, but then they ended by saying, trust me. So,
okay, that's confusing.
I'm going to stop speculating because I don't think he knows another type of bending.
I don't know.
He doesn't.
He's just really good at
maybe he's the Avatar, guys. Oh, he's the other Avatar.
He's the Iroh-tar.
The anti-tar.
Okay, well, I don't know about that, but I think that he possibly doesn't know another type of bending. I just think he knows a lot about life, whereas a lot of the firebenders are really, they only know about bending. Like Ozai. He sucks. Ariana, do you want to read the next comment?
Yeah. So this one is from Luke. I hope I said that correctly. He says, great podcast. A friendship that transcends a lifetime. Beautiful. Even if one of you will be the Avatar. As long as Mitch won't be it, the world might just be safe. Lazy Avatar. So mean. Lazy Avatar might not be the best ever. He might spoil everything that is going to happen, so that would probably be a useful skill. Quick question. How is Katang not good with Aang being too young and Taka okay? I forgot to mention last episode that my name was pronounced flawlessly. That is impressive. Keep up the good work and know that it could have been all over by now if the Day of the Black Sun was a success. All of these episodes are bonus and boy, stuff will still happen. I love the fact that Suki's fate is somewhat of a thing during the podcast. Never thought about it much before, but who knows? Maybe Bumi is also gone. Aw.
Yeah, and Mitch highlighted that to draw my attention to it, and I'm just really upset now. Bumi is a warrior. He's not dead.
Yeah, okay. So I really do want to
address. Where is he?
He's still in his little metal box. Someone's going to get him.
He metal bends. I bet he's out of there.
Oh, I hope so.
But I feel like we should address.
Do you want to talk about? Yeah, go ahead.
The Katang not working, but Taka being beautiful. Okay, so because a lot of people mention this, and the difference I think is that just objectively, women mature, or girls, I should say, mature a lot faster than boys do at that age. And subjectively, I mean, Taka is beautiful and Katang is gross, but. I think that Aang is not mature enough for someone like Katara, who acts like a 70-year-old woman most of the time. So.
She's not wrong.
Well, I think also, you know, I was a little bit flummoxed when I read this comment at first, because I was like, oh, that's a good point. And then I was like, no, because on the one hand, sorry, no offense, but like, on the one hand, we're talking about people here, like, I tend to agree with you, Ariana, in general, but bottom line, Toph is more mature in certain ways than Aang is, and Sokka is less mature than Katara is, so they can kind of meet in the middle. And on the other hand, on, like, my other whatever point is that, like, Toph did not see Sokka and go, I love you! You know, Toph spent, like, a long time with him, like hanging out with him and
got a
whatever.
Bit of a crush.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's more natural. It's just more, as opposed to, you know, like whatever. Katang,
Aang just has this obsession with Katara that like drives him. Like,
yeah.
And it makes no sense.
Well, I mean, it's fine. Like, it's fine. I get it. Like, he has a crush on an older girl. Like, that's allowed. But like,
it's so Star Warsy.
Well, Yeah. That's so weird. I still can't believe that was a real thing. But anyway, sorry. Yeah, I mean,
I have a friend who ships Azula and Zuko, so.
Pardon?
I have a friend who ships Azula and Zuko, so we're good.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I can see it if you're, like, really into weird things.
That bedroom scene had a weird vibe, I will say.
It did.
Yeah, I mean, she did do her sexy bathrobe dance at him.
You know,
like,
they are, like, dragon people, right? It's very Targaryen of them.
It is so Targaryen.
Ew. Okay. My thing, not to be too graphic, I mean, it's not as graphic as the incest, but I kind of see the gang as, like, the post-puberty section and the pre-puberty section, if you know what I mean. Like, and I feel like that Aang and Toph are, like, they're too young, like, because, like, to actually have a relationship, because they're not even, like, teenagers yet. They are not, like, it would, like, they are children and the others are teenagers, if you know what I mean. And I totally get, like, a 12-year-old girl having a crush on, like, a hot 15-year-old boy that's been, like, helping her get around the world. But for Katara and Aang to actually have a relationship at this point, it's like, she's a 14-year-old girl, like, almost 15, whatever, like, you know.
Like, she could birth a child, woman. And that would be totally normal, I think,
in this society. Yes. Whereas Aang is like, oh, he's a child, does he have pubic hair yet? Like, is that, like, something that you want to be, like,
really
getting
graphic,
on?
That's really graphic.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. But that's kind of how I divide it up in my head. And I'm like, that would not be an appropriate, like, you shouldn't be touching each other like that. So let's not.
Oh, God, now I'm just wondering what else Aang shaved.
Ew.
No.
Oh. Anyway.
It's your fault.
Sorry.
Well, I don't know if I ship Taka, like, right now this minute. I think I just like them together, and I ship them, like, when they're in their 20s and super hot.
Yeah.
And, cool. Like, badass.
But see, like, I could see myself shipping even, like, Katara and Aang if it wasn't, like, this, like, oh, Katang is, like, a thing now. Like, if they were adults and, like, had, you know, like, been apart for a little while and then met up again and they were both, like, grown up,
yeah,
you know.
Maybe.
We're but, adults now. We
but
can,
not
like,
right now.
Right, but right. Like, this idea that they are, like, permanently destined for each other at age 11 is,
I think,
problematic.
Is silly.
Yeah.
Also, do you feel like, at this point, I feel like she's only even entertaining the idea because he's the Avatar. If he wasn't the Avatar, I don't think she'd be him. The time of day.
She's like an Avatar gold digger.
Well, I think she's not attracted to him at all. But
I
in
think
the
she's
back
attracted
of her
to his powers.
Mind, she's like, yeah, I think in the back of her mind, she's like, but he is the Avatar. Someday, like, that's going to be awesome. What if I'm, like, the Avatar? I think that it's like, yeah.
Is that more attractive than being the Fire Lady?
Well, ooh. she still doesn't trust Zuko. She thinks he's
that's
hot
true,
as hell,
right
but
now.
Yeah. She doesn't trust him.
Let's go to the next comment. Mikhail, would you like to read this one?
Yeah, Lizzie Granger says, the return of the boulder, which I think is a reference to Caitlin. I was
well, and last episode, the boulder himself came back in the,
right, he does
the invasion.
Yes.
Which was so cute when they were like,
yeah,
oh,
so
we're
Caitlin,
so happy
Caitlin
to
also
see
made an appearance.
Yeah, because she needed to be there for the boulder. Like,
okay,
it was
but it's
important.
Also a reference to the actual boulder, right? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Should I
very
just read
cute.
This one too?
Yeah, it was short. Go ahead. You read
okay.
the next one.
So Gordy Walsh, Walls, both of those things are true.
Gordy Walsh,
is, talking about response to Rewatchable 2 days out from recording. And oh yes, yes. Our Hunger Games, problems, said Game of Thrones for the newbies. Now that the gang's complete, guess how many of them are dead in Korra? # much loss, such sadness. Oh, and Mitchell Clow must wear the cone of silence the entire time that they are guessing. Not one word with Mitch, not one # the beach. It's fine, because Mitch is not on this episode.
Who's dead? Yeah. Aang is dead, definitely.
Aang is dead? Oh, yeah.
Did you come up with that one by yourself?
And then I was spoiled on someone else who's not dead, so I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Katara and Zuko are not dead because they're definitely, like, making out all the time, so. as their 80-year-old selves.
I will safely say that Boomy is dead because he's like 150 right now.
Anyone else?
What do you guys think about Sokka?
Sokka probably accidentally like lit himself on fire, so he's probably dead.
Oh my god, this is so distressing.
When he's visiting his brother-in-law. Oops.
Yeah, accident. When he's visiting his brother-in-law, he's like, yo, Zuko, hit me with a fireball, and then he can't dodge it, and he dies.
Jesus.
Or maybe he invented a flaming boomerang.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, I should also like say to all of our wonderful rewatchable listeners that Mitch was my secret Santa in our hypeable group this year, and I sent him coal for spoiling Avatar.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What, you sent him like a box of coal?
Well, I sent him like other presents, and I got him like I drew an Appa, and I enabled Appa with Wi-Fi because he's the lazy Avatar. And but then I also sent him a little bag of coal. And I labeled it for ruining Avatar.
Oh my god. It's amazing. All right. Well, we will leave that there because I don't think there's a better moment to leave that on. I did not know that about the coal, and that's incredible. but yeah, we'll go, and we shall see you all next week with a group for the next two episodes, which... Is that Boiling Rock Part 1 and 2, or
yes,
what
it
happens?
Is. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Field trip number 2. Cool. Get excited. So until then, we will be seeing you in the Twitter sphere, etc. So until then, I have been Natalie.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Mariana.
And I'm Michal.
Bye.
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 Hot person, people.